I hope you're ready. How great our joy.
How great our joy.
Okay, some of you got it. We won't do it again for his sake. Apparently it wasn't great joy for him. Well, oh. Poor Drew. Well, welcome to our second week of Advent where we make kids cry. You know, when I was a kid, waiting on Christmas was hard. From the time the tree went up until the morning of Christmas, it was so exciting, but yet so hard. It was like time went into slow motion. Day after day, you counted how many more wake-ups until Christmas morning. And the closer you got to Christmas morning, the slower the days. One of the hardest Christmases for me to wait was when I found where Mom hid the Christmas presents. Now, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so we didn't have a lot of really good Christmases, but I don't know if Dad got a good bonus this year or what happened, but we had a really good Christmas. My grandfather was a farmer, and I loved John Deere tractors. And underneath my mom's bed was a whole bunch of toy tractors, including a toy combine with both a corn header and a grain header. Now, that might not mean much to you, but to a sandbox-loving kid, that was gold. And every time I could, when Mom wasn't around, I would go and sneak in a room and lay under the bed and look in the box and try to play with it. And I couldn't wait until that day come where I could rip it out of the box and put it together and play with it. And finally, the time came to open up the presents. And I knew which one I wanted to open first. Mom and Dad are like, no, you sure you don't want this one first? Because they knew which one I'd want. But no, there was no doubt which box I opened first. The waiting was hard, but the reward was certainly worth it. Because we are an impatient society, aren't we? We just can't wait. We have self-checkout registers just to get through the store faster. We have drive-through everything, don't we? Excuse me. We have drive-through banks, drive-through carryouts, drive-through pharmacies, drive-through dry cleaners. We have drive-through wedding chapels in Vegas. And if we're too big in a hurry to do self-checkout, we can order online and pick it up at the store when we get there and walk right by everybody in line and go. We can have things shipped next day. And now they're even doing tests for drone deliveries, where drones will deliver the packages within hours of ordering them. We as a society don't like to wait on anything. And as Christians, it can be especially true when it comes to God. We want God to be like dominoes and deliver in 30 minutes or less. We want God to answer things as quick as we can find answers on Google. We expect God to be our 911 and come to rescue us every time we call. But God's timing isn't always our timing. And we don't usually get instant answers or instant results, and we get frustrated. But God's timing can take decades or even centuries. And as we look at today's passage, we see two people who waited and waited. We heard Andrew read this earlier. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, I don't want to define what old is, let alone what very old is, and I won't even make fun of Bob this morning. Glenn's not here. I got to pick on somebody. But scriptures tell us they both lived out their lives faithfully to God. And here we see they were childless. And later in the scripture, we see why this was so hard for them. In verse 23, it says, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. And these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And in the context of this time period, having children was everything. Passing down a legacy was crucial to keeping the family line. When we are first introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth, in the scripture, we see that he was a priest from the priestly division of Abijah, a descendant of Aaron. They also say that Elizabeth was also from the line of Aaron. Their lineage was important. It was their credentials. It was a part of their identity. And we see this time and time again in the scripture. So many times we'll say, they'll start a scripture off saying, this is somebody who was somebody's son, somebody's son, somebody's son. Matthew, it was so important, he even started with a lineage of Jesus in his book. So for a couple in this time period, to them it felt like a disgrace not to have a child. Some people would say that they were cursed or that they had sinned or that there were reasons that God did not find favor on them. But the passage says they were righteous and they were faithful. So I'm sure that they prayed for a child. And prayed for a child. And prayed for a child. And don't you think they wondered, why? Why God hasn't given us a child? God, we're faithful. Don't we deserve a child? God, we're trying to do everything right. We follow every command. We go to every Sabbath and we give tenth and we do everything, God. Don't you hear our prayers? God had a plan for them. But God's timing was not their timing. And let's face it, having a child when you are very old is not an easy task. And not only were they being asked to raise a child in their old age, their very old age, their child came with very specific instructions. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people for the Lord." You see, their baby comes with conditions and expectations. Talk about pressure. They have to raise their child differently. They have to raise him to be this prophet of God. And that is not an easy task. I mean, imagine waiting your whole life to have a child. You hope maybe one day he'll grow up and be successful or follow in dad's footsteps and do all the things that all the normal kids do. But these are expectations that are above and beyond. They bring real pressure. And later in Luke, we read that the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Now, I couldn't imagine being Zechariah and Elizabeth. We don't know how long they lived and how much of John's life they saw. They probably weren't alive by the time Jesus started his ministry 30 years later. But could you imagine raising him and everybody saying, "Oh, your kid's the different kid, huh? Your kid's the kid that lives out in the wilderness, doesn't even have normal clothes. He's eating bugs and honey out of trees. Isn't this the kid that the angel promised?" I mean, they had all kinds of stories. I'm sure people gave them a hard time. But we know from the story of John the Baptist that while he did wear funny clothes and did eat locusts, that he boldly preached repentance in baptism. And his message set the stage for Jesus. And it was John who baptized Jesus. How great their joy. And even though they likely did not get to see this blessing lived out, but how great their joy through their faith in God and faith in God's promises. But this promise that lived out through John the Baptist wasn't the only blessing that this son of Zechariah and Elizabeth brought. Because in this Advent story, it says, at the time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she claimed, "How great our joy!" Right? She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary was blessed and comforted by Elizabeth. Mary was young. Mary was scared. Says she hurried off, rushed off to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And the miracle pregnancy of Elizabeth was the sign that Mary needed. Now just imagine how our story would have changed if Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't wait on God. What if they had not remained faithful? They waited most of their lives and continued to remain faithful to God. They were very old before they even had a glimpse of how God would use them. You know, God calls a lot of people later in life. Abraham was in his 90s. Moses was 80 years old when he came back to Egypt to lead his people out. And then he roamed another 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine starting at age 80 and going on a 40-year hike with a bunch of complaining church people? But in all seriousness, God has a plan for each of us. And we don't always know how long we will have to wait. Waiting is not easy to do. When I visit some of our very old congregants, some of them tell me they just feel like they're sitting around for nothing. Just waiting. What's their purpose? Waiting is not easy to do. But you see, when we live faithfully and we wait on God, we will find joy. The wonderful thing about God's plan is he just doesn't make things happen. He includes us. He uses us. How great our joy that we have a God who wants to use us as part of his plan. We have opportunities through our faith to be blessed by God. How great our joy. We have opportunities through our faith to be a blessing to others. How great our joy. And I want you to really think on that last one. We have opportunities through our faith to be a blessing to others. Mary was scared. Mary needed a safe place, a reassuring place, a place with people she could trust. Because in her time, the secret that she carried could mean death. a pregnant teenager without a father was going to be stoned to death. She needed a place. And the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth was that place. She needed a person she could trust, and Elizabeth was that person. She knew she could go there and not be condemned for what was going on. She knew it would be someone that would hear her and hear her say the story of the angel and not think she was crazy. And Elizabeth, through her faith, was a blessing. And through this experience, Elizabeth experienced great joy. So especially in this holiday season, look for ways to bless someone. Perhaps you may know a friend or a family member that needs love, comfort, and reassurance. And maybe God will even give you an opportunity to bless a complete stranger. We don't know where all those chemo hats are going to go. We don't know where the donations of Long John's are going to go. We don't know who's going to come in our door to have lunch with Santa. We don't know who's going to show up midweek for diapers. But everyone is an opportunity for us to be a blessing to them. For us to provide comfort, a place that they can feel welcome, a place that they can trust. A place that they know that we're not going to condemn them or gossip about them, that we're just going to love them for who they are and work with them through their problems. My promise to you is this. When you live like Zechariah and Elizabeth, righteous, faithful, and following the Lord's commands, when you have a devoted prayer life, when you dwell in His scriptures, when you love God and love others, you will become a blessing to many. And through that time, you will experience His joy, and your life will proclaim the greatness of God, and many people will say, "How great my joy." Will you be somebody's joy this Christmas? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we see two people that waited almost all their lives. And for almost all that time, they had no idea what your plan was. Yet every day they got up and they lived faithfully. And although at times society may have said that they were betrayed by you, the truth was they were going to receive a blessing like no other. For not only did they get the gift of a child, they got the gift of a very special child. A child that would pave the way for the mission of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we may never see or know fully how you intend to use us. But Lord, let us always remember that while we have breath, we have a mission from you, Lord. And let us use every bit of our abilities to be a joy for somebody. Let us find means and ways to bless others, to provide that comfort and reassurance, so that they truly will find and discover the Christ child. So they will find Jesus Christ as their Savior. So then they will have the joy of your promises. Lord, let us not look to what we think we deserve, but let us look to what your will is. And in that we will find a joy like no other. Lord, continue us to lead us in the direction of being the church you have called us to be. Let this church be a blessing to each other, a blessing to this community, and through our gifts and our tithes and our offerings, allow us to be a blessing to this world. All of this we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.